voice of Ireland on 2FM.
Crunchiness in harmony with the delicious yogurt, that really hits all the right notes.
Muller Corner sponsors the voice of Ireland.
Welcome back. Yes, it's Jenny in for Colm Hayes today until one. And last night on the TV, of course, you will have seen week two of The Voice. Things are certainly hotting up and definitely on the judging panel as well. And for the various teams and representing Team Brezzy. Brezzy, how are you?
I'm very good. How are you?
I'm good. So tell us, last night in the show anyway, how did you feel overall, the general standards?
It's kind of hard to say this year. I think it's definitely a different type of standard. You're not getting as many of the big diva singers and the big kind of belters. It's a lot more of the kind of more subdued kind of singer-songwriter type singers, which is great. It's kind of right up my street. But overall, in terms of that genre, the standard's definitely up. I find them singers much more interesting this year.
I think certainly when you're listening to them, I mean, you know, obviously we were in judging for the 2FM wildcards, and I've never done something like that before, and it's so difficult when you're just listening to a voice, and even you guys get to turn around again. We didn't even get to see them after we'd actually chosen them, but there's so many singers that came in back to back, and they all sang like Etta James or something like that, and they all had great voices, and you thought it's a good voice, but it's the same as like 20 other voices. So I suppose you're looking for that voice that sort of stands out, are you, that you feel is going to go further than just someone who could sing at a sort of a well at a karaoke competition?
Well, that's the thing, like, you know, singing's a very objective thing, and from my personal taste with music is that if a singer is literally regurgitating, keeps going out and doing the same thing, you know, as you say, in karaoke, it doesn't interest me massively, and I like the singers just to twist it a little bit, because as the show goes on, what one thing I can guarantee is people who are going out every week just doing the original versions, week in, week out, not pushing themselves, they won't win. They just won't win it. And I think that's where my kind of feel lies in it. I think that's with shows like, say, The X Factor or The Voice, you do have a tendency sometimes of singers looking for the safe option. So
yeah,
if that's what they're looking for, they tend not to pick me, unfortunately. But
I know, it's just kind of, and I sometimes feel when I'm watching the programmes that I don't mean to be having a go at anyone, but sometimes I feel parents can be to blame because they've told their kids for years, you're amazing, you know, Mary sings brilliant. And it's like, there's a lot of people who sing brilliant, but do you have that little extra edge that's probably going to win it for you? And that's probably what you're looking for, I guess, is it?
Yeah, the big thing with that is all the parents. I mean, I my mum's a music teacher. I kind of grew up, and she was realistic enough with me at times. If I wasn't, you know, started playing piano and the guitar, and if I wasn't doing my practice, she'd just tell me, you're not good enough. You need to keep working at it. And I think the thing about The Voice as well, you win a show like this, and I keep saying this, but it's important to understand, we were kind of just facilitating people to win a show. We're teaching them about their voice, but once they win the show, they have so much more work to do. We keep on stagecraft, it's so important. People being on stage, people being in the recording studio. So with a show like The Voice, or like The X Factor, I think you have to be patient. And sometimes you get big stars, sometimes you just don't, because they're not willing to work.
Yeah, it's not. I think people think they kind of think, right, I've won it now and it's handed to you on a plate. But it's actually just probably, it's just giving you a platform to do great things. It doesn't mean it's just going to happen for you, I suppose. And that's the difference. And then you've got like acts like, you know, I have to make sure that I pronounce it right, because I like Keter Friislarns.
Keter.
Oh,
okay, I've had elocution lessons before each show, because I'm not getting, like, between myself and Jamelia, the two of us are absolutely pathetic at pronouncing names.
I just, Keter Friislarns. And when I watched him, I thought, he seems like a really nice, kind of chilled out, humble guy. And he, you know, don't get me wrong, he was, and he sang brilliantly. And then when the coin toss thing happened, I just sort of went, what was that about?
I know, and I saw a lot of people abusing him on Twitter, and I'm kind of going, lads, don't get all so offended so quickly. Like, Irish people have disability, we're addicted to being offended. We have to be offended by something.
I know.
And, you know, he was on stage. He was very nervous. He mightn't have looked it with his Keenegan haircut, but he was very, very nervous.
Oi, oi.
And he was shaking like a leaf. And, like, we straight away, he just probably panicked when Dolores says, toss a coin. You know, people at home going, oh, he's very cocky. He's not. He's an absolute gentleman of a kid, you know.
Oh, good.
And I just think people have a very, very quick way. We perceive people very quickly in this country. And you know, if I got like a euro for every time last year someone said to me, will you ever give that Keane, the taxi man, will you ever give that Keane Egan fella a box? I'd be, and then this year they're going, oh, he's the nicest guy ever, because they got to see him. You know, it's on the jungle, and you realise that he's an absolute gent as well.
I think it's just, it's the Irish mentality. I know the UK can be somewhat the same, but we're definitely worse here, I think. You know, we love someone and then we decide we hate them, probably within minutes.
We can be pretty quick to judge, to be fair.
Someone that nobody had a bad word to say about last night was Jamie Hartigan, who did a really emotional rap that I think kind of, it seemed to strike a chord with so many people. What were your thoughts when you heard him doing the song for his uncle?
Well, I mean, you gotta be realistic in your head as well. You gotta go, right, you know, this, I'm getting what he's doing here.
Yeah.
And then you go in your head. In modern contemporary music, rap and hip hop is probably the biggest genre, so you can't write it off as somebody who's not going to win a singing contest. But I just think to myself, I don't know, like, and I have no idea, come battle show, come live show, what we're going to do here. And that's how I pick my team. When you hear them sing first, you start mapping it out. You've got about a minute and a half to map it out in your head. Where could you see it going? What could they sing? Could you push them? And with Jamie, you know, the emotion was there and all, but I couldn't actually map that out in my head. So Keane could, obviously, but I couldn't.
Yeah, I suppose that's the thing. And even, you know, like, there was one of the other acts last night. It was I think it's Dagan. I think I have pronounced that right. But, you know, like that, Dolores said he had a great voice. And then she said, why didn't you turn for me? And because she probably felt there wasn't a lot she was going to be able to personally add to him. I suppose that is a factor, isn't it?
Yeah, I think people kind of, I think now in the third series, people are starting to understand that we're not, like, the amount of abuse I would have gotten first year going, why didn't you pick this person? Why didn't you pick that person? I do think we make ourselves pretty clear and we try not to contradict ourselves. But people have to also understand, we've 4 days filming. We've got maybe 30 to 40 auditions a day. And, you know, our ear lets us down sometimes. You know, sometimes we do make mistakes and we totally regret it. But that's the nature of the show, you know, because it's a competition for us as well.
It's a lot easier as well when you're sitting at home and you're watching something and you're going, why didn't they pick that? Because, you know, you're chilled out in the couch, kind of, you've only turned it on for 10 minutes. But I know even the day that we were just doing a small amount of it for the wild card, and we probably listened to about 60 in a day, and you kind of started forgetting what you're even hearing after a while.
Your ear fatigues, you know, it's just normal. But the thing is, like, what we don't have, which is people at home have, is the backstory. We have no idea. It's like, I mean, I don't mean to sound kind of quite insensitive here, but we don't care. Like, I can't care. You can't care about it. If I was coming on the show and someone said, well, this guy has been through this, it's going to affect the way you think about them. And so I'm quite happy sitting there not knowing anything and judging them on their vocals. And after when we're watching the show and I'm sitting at home watching it, that's when the kind of guilt starts kicking in, because you start seeing their backstory and their mother.
I know.
You know, last year, like, the dad saying, oh, hope she picks Brezzy, and then I didn't pick her, and she goes, sure, that fella, Brezzy knows nothing.
Oh.
So you imagine how your opinion can just change, and
Feel bad, and unfortunately, that's probably what's really happened with the X Factor over the last few years. It's really become about the story and who's got the saddest life, and then that's kind of where it seems to go, instead of going, this person is brilliant. And that is,
you know, Jenny, like, the way I look at it, when it comes to when you start getting forward, you can start using your backstory to actually, if you win a show like this, and you're going into a studio and you're sitting down with a group of writers, then you talk about your backstory. Then you go, this is what I want to sing about. This is what I'm connected to. You know, an awful lot of people go into studio after winning shows like this and they go, well, what do people want me to sing about? I'll sing about that. They've no attachment to what they're singing about and ultimately don't last very long. So
at least if they've got a backstory, they've got something, a personal emotion probably to put into the song that maybe other people mightn't have.
Yeah, and a good songwriter, if you're working with them, they'll facilitate that. They won't come in and go, right, we're going to sing about like 99% of the stuff we listen to on the radio, breaking up with girls. It's just, I've had enough of it. Like, do we have to sing about, like, there's surely more subject matter in this world than, you know, breaking up with girls or guys. It's just...
Yeah,
I know. Please.
All the songs are kind of the same. It's a level of heartbreak, maybe one too many. But I know so far, anyway, thank you. You've picked two of our wild cards. You picked Ciara Donnelly last night and Keane Fitzpatrick. So, I mean,
yeah, you got good taste, guys.
Yeah, I mean, we had a lot of rows that day, but it's good. Like, I'm glad that someone in there saw sense. So thank you for doing that. And Kira last night, she had a great voice, and I know, like, she was slightly when she said she would have picked Dolores, but she hadn't turned around. I think there's probably a thing with Dolores as well, that she's new and there's a novelty factor as well, and she is brilliant as well.
Yeah, I didn't know that she said that about Dolores now, so I'm going to have words with Kira when I see her next. She goes, they all kind of pick who they want to go with first, and yeah. I mean, if I be honest, if I was singing on the show, I'd be picking Dolores. I wouldn't pick me, but but you know, Kira, like, straight away, as I said when I heard her sing, I was like, right, oh my god, she's twisting a very you know, a male rock track, and she's making it own. She's turning it into a kind of a jazz club track, and I'm going, this is a girl who's very musical,
yes,
and somebody who will work with me through the show and not be afraid to a challenge if I throw a song at her that's kind of way out of her comfort zone. She has the ability to work with it. And the same with Keane and Keeter, they've all got the ability to do that, and that's why they're on my team.
No, I mean, and I was also last night, I did get a little laugh out of it, and not slagging her at all, but when Jamelia didn't know the song Lonely Boy, and I thought, my God, like, no song had been played more last year than that song.
Oh no, slag away. Absolutely tear into her. For it. I mean, that's all I do. I'm kind of, she didn't know House of the Rising Sun last year. And she kind of going, who's that now? And I said, well, it's definitely not been released recently. But like, you see, Jamila's big thing is that she only listens to the radio. And I said, well, if you only listen to the radio, you probably would have heard Lonely Boy a million times last year. But,
and I wouldn't mind, no personal offence to her. She's not that young. Like, I would think she's probably older than both of us, I think. Like, and I'm talking a year or two, maybe.
She's younger than me, I think.
Okay. All right.
I never asked. Like, my mum always told me never to ask women.
Never,
that you think
never
older
do,
than
like,
age,
you know.
Yeah.
But if she was about 19, I'd let her away with not knowing House of the Rising Sun. But anyway, I suppose, and, you know, maybe that's a testament to Kira that she did such a great, she put her own slant on it to such a degree that Jamelia didn't recognise the song.
Well, if she did that, I probably wouldn't have picked her, because one of my pet hates is when somebody, it's great when they put their own thing to it, but when they go too far, you're going to go, I don't even know what that melody is.
Because someone did,
you know,
it last
week. I think somebody
night.
Did last year, last week, that kind of put me off. But no, I think she changed the sentiment of the song. Like, that's, it was really, really good. I thought, I don't know, even when I turned around, I could see that she had experience, which, you know, is important too, you know. It's good to see that somebody's comfortable on stage, because that kind of whole, like, part of it, if you, in the line editions, it's grand. You get to the battles, you're in front of 1,000 live people, or 1,000 people in the room. It's like, you know, it's very intimidating. So if they're struggling at the blinds, we don't really have the time to get them up to that drop nerve stage for the battles.
Yeah, I mean, everyone's going to be nervous anyway, but you need to be able to have some bit of reserve to fall back on, I suppose, because it is going to get tough when you're going and doing it live, you know?
Yeah, I'm sure. I mean, like, the reality is, like, all four coaches will tell you the same thing. It's like, I couldn't imagine doing it. I couldn't imagine. I've never been in that position where there's such a magnifying glass in your vocal. Like, you have to, I think it's, at times, we can often over-analyse the vocal.
Yeah, because no one's,
I suppose that's what we have to do, you know?
No one's perfect, like, 100% completely all the time. So I suppose it makes it difficult. Now, obviously, I know there's a good few more weeks to go, and you probably can't tell us too much. Have our wild cards fared well?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay.
I think the 2FM wild cards, I think even you guys picking, obviously, I've been watching the show for the last 2 years, and you've seen the kind of people that, you know, as I said, there's loads of great singers out there, but are they interesting singers?
Okay.
Are they pub rock singers? You just don't know. It seems to me the wild cards seem to have that little bit of uniqueness that I personally have been looking for.
Okay, well, that's certainly music to our ears, and we will be glued to the TV next weekend to find out what happens and see if there's any more little tiffs or anything on set.
So, no, we all make up. We're all good.
Oh, you're all good. I know, it's good TV. I know everyone's probably getting on brilliantly.
Yeah, well, I wouldn't say that.
Well, no, that might be a slight stretch, but Brezzy, it was lovely to talk to you, and we're behind you 100%, so we're Team Brezzy all the way here in 2FM.
Oh, nice one. I'll keep picking the wild cards.
Oh, brilliant. Lovely.
Nice one.
Take care. We'll chat to you again next week. All right. This is Imagine Dragons, Radioactive on 2FM.